This is The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Dean's Desk podcast. I'm Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design at Seneca. Joining me today, really exciting to have Donna Sacutelli with us today, as well as one of Donna's colleagues who is really doing some fantastic work in the area of inclusive design. But let's start with Professor Sacutelli. Donna, can you tell me a little bit, in our pre-interview, you had mentioned that inclusive design has really been a passion of yours for a long, long time. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, inclusive design has been, primarily because I actually grew up with a mom that is hard of hearing. So I saw what that barrier was in her life, and I sort of carried that with me my whole life. When I moved into design, I recognized that we want to give access to people, yes, in terms of messaging. But inclusive design, when it was formally introduced to me by a former colleague of mine, Paul Schechter, I realized that it opened up the doors for people who had disabilities, and that it really took into account diversity and being very mindful of the needs that people have. So it really switched my way of thinking, and therefore it became a passion of mine, and I entered into OCAD and did my master's. That's kind of how it started, and then I brought it back to Seneca.
So speaking of that, have been working with Kevin, who we'll bring up in a minute, on inclusive design for business. Can you tell us a little bit about that program?
Yeah, it's very simple. Inclusive design for business is a local college cert that very much addresses the needs of organizations by providing students with strategic, innovative, practical business tools that they will be able to layer in inclusivity into the workplace, and very much following AODA guidelines. That is sort of layered into the way they would approach different levels of planning and business planning and development, making sure things are compliant.
So you said compliance. So there's a regulatory component here. Businesses are required to do many of these things, but there's also, it's not only the right thing to do, but it's also good for business, right?
It's very good for business. Yeah. What we have found, Kevin can kind of back me up with a lot of the business facts around this, that if products and services and environments are designed with the unique needs, the diverse needs of their users or consumers, what you really have is the potential to reach 4 times the intended consumer. So that's become a reality, and it's very important bottom line now for businesses.
So that's a great segue to bring Kevin in. Kevin, you are a consulting researcher at the Toronto Workforce Innovation Group. You're also dean of the Kirtner Leadership Program at the Urban Land Institute. Can you expand a little bit on what Donna was talking about in terms of the effects of inclusive design in the business area?
So it's really interesting. As Donna was talking, I've worked with people who work with inclusive design quite a while, and almost everybody you find has somebody in their background or history, which is except for me. I actually come at it, I'm more of a regional scientist than anything. And I came to Toronto 16 years ago now with Richard Florida to work with the Rise of the Creative Class, right? And one of the things was looking at understanding regions, what made them successful was how important inclusion was. And so that led to a whole thing on understanding the value of diversity and inclusion. And what I think of is very much that it's not only doing good, but it is doing well. And that businesses need to understand both from the marketing perspective, as Donna's already talked about, how you can, you know, the market and the consumer base that you can, you know, dramatically reach and all that, but also internally. Companies that are more diverse make better decisions. Companies that are more diverse do better financially. They do better stock performance. And there's all of these things that talk about the value, the real value of diversity from a business perspective. And so I think it's one of those that you just need people to understand that, look, you can actually do the right thing, do the legal thing in case, you know, when you're meeting legal requirements as well, but also do the correct financial thing, right? It's better for your company if you're able to do this. And so I think being able to get people to see and understand that, I think, is an important part of this whole thing that we're trying to do.
So in the micro-credentials themselves, what is some of the content that the students will be learning about?
Okay, so the 3 micro-credentials that we've extracted out of the certificate, IDB 111 is essentially inclusive design process, where we get the students to work through the double diamond, I would say, with double diamond method of discovering, looking at the stakeholders, understanding understanding and looking into their own biases and assumptions, really sort of looking at what the issue is, and then defining the problem from a certain point of view, and then revisiting that over and over, and then finally developing it and coming into a place of a deliverable that would always be taking into consideration the diverse needs that that particular group has, and they have to sort of look at what it is they're delivering that will give that group access, agency, and they will take action in a very easy way. So it just sort of folds into their life naturally. So that's very important. So the second one is creating accessible documents, which is very important. And also WCAG.
What does WCAG stand for?
Worldwide Web Consortium Accessibility Group, I think
that's
it is.
That's right.
It is the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act, right? Which is the governing legislation for this. It requires for things that are posted on the web, right, that they are compliant. Yeah. This is what makes documents accessible, right? Yeah. Is that they are determined to be accessible if they are compliant with these standards.
And what's very interesting, during my brief period of being field placement, a lot of our graphic design placement people were asking and saying, are these students able to do accessible documents? And I'm like, yes, they have, because they've taken the IDB micro-credential, and it kind of put them at the top for the selection process, right? And then finally is Kevin's, the IDB business practice.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So the final one is really about, well, the first two are more detailed. This is the more general strategy about putting together an inclusive business plan. Now, what I end up doing is I allow the students to approach it in a variety of different ways, depending on what they want to do. So they could look at creating their own inclusive business. So if they're interested in entrepreneurship and, you know, in starting something up of their own, and they want it to be a business that is either inclusive in terms of its hiring practices and business practices, or inclusive in terms of its customer base, right? That they can do that. But then also, if they want to take an existing firm and understand how to make it more inclusive, right? How to put a plan together to do that. And so that one, the requirements for the credential are that you build the plan, and then that makes you eligible for for the micro-credential.
These sound like skills that are increasingly in demand. It sounds like businesses are more and more recognizing the value of these skill sets.
Oh, definitely. It's definitely something that everybody is now recognizing and are looking and thinking about taking our program. In fact, we have a lot of business people that are interested in taking it. We've been chatting with many people, haven't we, within the government that are saying, let us know when you're ready to go, because we have people that we're going to send their way.
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting with this is that initially, like when AOTA was kind of implemented and things were still going on, that a lot of companies looked to consultants. There are a lot of consulting firms out there that will evaluate your website and tell you whether it's accessible, that will help you with training your employees and do this kind of stuff. And what companies are finding, as often is the case, the consultant's a good way to go at first when you don't have the skills yourself. But what you quickly learn is you need the skills in-house. It's no different than hiring graphic designers from a firm versus having your own people, right? And I think very much the same is true for inclusive design, that more and more firms are realizing they need these skills in-house, that this is an important priority for them, not only from a kind of ESG, right, environment, social, governance perspective, but again, as a ability to both do well and do good, right? They really need to have those skills in-house. And so they're looking for people to have this, and the micro credentials and hopefully the upcoming
cert
certificate, yes, will all help to create, you know, help give people that. As I tell my students, look, put this on your resume, right? This is something that's going to get you to the front of the line in the interviews, right? If you say, hey, I've built, you know, if your portfolio doesn't just have fabulous designs in it, but also has an inclusive business plan in it, they're going to notice that. And that's going to be the thing that's going to really help you get a good position.
Doing good and doing well.
That's right.
I like that. So, Dawn, I want to come back to a point you made earlier about access and agency. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about your sensory shopper blog.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'm very involved in that. I'm always scouting what's out there that's new that the packaging industry is putting out. So what I would like to bring up here is that in terms of sensory packaging, there are many that are on the market right now that are doing incredible things. Like MasterCard has just created a debit card and a Visa card by die cutting the sides and creating different notches for people who are vision impaired to know which card to use, as an example. You have Kellogg's has the Navi lenses out right now that is a QR code on the front that you're able to read the entire front of the box in terms of hierarchy of information. So it could drive a jingle home. It can drive the imagery that's on there, right? So it's kind of acting like a screen reader. So this is where you're giving them access and agency to make their own decisions. So then they'll use those particular tools on an ongoing basis that does, in fact, do that. So that's what's so important. That's what I bring into my classes, that in terms of the collaborative marketing campaign, I definitely am saying you need to think inclusively. Get into that mindset. Think about all the users that are in the marketplace.
Anything else you would like to add, Donna or Kevin, about inclusive design for business? If someone's interested, where can they go to find out more information?
Well, they can go to the site, the Inclusive Design for Business micro-credentials that are up right now. The link is there. You can simply sign in and register. They start May the 15th and they end June 23rd, and they are covered by OSAP, which is very important. Oh, so we're encouraging everybody to do that. We've been on a crusade throughout SCAA. We've knocked on the doors of many coordinators and they've been very gracious. And we've had a lot of faculty say they'd like to take it as well.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you both the best. Fantastic
you.
Credential. Very much needed, long overdue.
Thank you.
So, thank you very
much. Great to talk to you, Donna. Great to meet you, Kevin. And all the best in the future.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design, produced by Seneca's Radio Broadcasting students.